The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 2, text number 41, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on June 21st, 2012, in Sydney, Australia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vyavyasayatmaka buddhir ekeha kuru nandana bahushakahyanantascha buddhyo vyavyasayanam vyavyasayatmaka buddhir Ekeha kuru nandana
Ekeha kuru nandana
Bahu shakahya nantascha Buddhayo vyavyasayanam
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. Purport. A strong faith that by Krishna consciousness one will be elevated to the highest perfection of life is called Vyavyasayatmaka intelligence. The Chaitanya Charitamrita Majja 22.62 states, Shraddha Shabde Vishvasa Kahe Sudridha Nishchaya Krishna Bhakti Kaila Sarva Karma Krita Haya. Faith means unflinching trust in something sublime. When one is engaged in the duties of Krishna consciousness, he need not act in relationship to the material world with obligations to family traditions, humanity, or nationality. Fruitive activities are the engagements of one's reactions from past good or bad deeds. When one is awake in Krishna consciousness, he need no longer endeavor for good results in his activities. When one is situated in Krishna consciousness, all activities are on the absolute plane, for they are no longer subject to dualities like good and bad. The highest perfection of Krishna consciousness is the renunciation of the material conception of life. This state is automatically achieved by progressive Krishna consciousness. The resolute purpose of a person in Krishna consciousness is based on knowledge. Vasudeva Sarvamati Sa Mahatma Sudurlabha. A person in Krishna consciousness is the rare good soul who knows perfectly that Vasudeva Krishna is the root of all manifested causes. As by watering the root of a tree, one automatically distributes water to the leaves and branches, so by acting in Krishna consciousness, one can render the highest service to everyone, namely self, family, society, country, humanity, etc. If a person is satisfied, rather if Krishna is satisfied by one's actions, then everyone will be satisfied. Service in Krishna consciousness is, however, best practiced under the able guidance of a spiritual master, who is a bona fide representative of Krishna, who knows the nature of the student and who can guide him to act in Krishna consciousness. As such, to be well-versed in Krishna consciousness, one has to act firmly and obey the representative of Krishna, and one should accept the instruction of the bona fide spiritual master as one's mission in life. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur instructs us in his famous prayers for the spiritual master as follows. Yasha prasadahan bhagavat prasado Yasha prasadanagati kutopi Nayang stuvang stasha yashashtri sanyan Vande guru shri charanaravindam. By satisfaction of the spiritual master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes satisfied. And by not satisfying the spiritual master, there is no chance of being promoted to the plane of Krishna consciousness. I should therefore meditate and pray for his mercy 3 times a day and offer my respectful obeisances unto him, my spiritual master. The whole process, however, depends on perfect knowledge of the soul beyond the conception of the body, not theoretically, but practically. When there is no longer a chance for sense gratification manifested in fruitive activities, one who is not firmly fixed in mind is diverted by various types of fruitive acts.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatha Padakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganitan Vitam Zajivam Sadaitam Zavadutam Bhadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamsha.
Some people say that you can accept as your spiritual master a guru who has departed from the world, that you can consider yourself to be his initiated disciple, your Diksha guru, a guru who is no longer here, who has left. He may be here spiritually, but physically departed, spiritual master. They say that. But here, Prabhupada clearly says that Krishna consciousness is best practiced under the able guidance of a spiritual master who's a bona fide representative of Krishna, who knows the nature of the student and who can guide him to act in Krishna consciousness. This refers to a spiritual master who's actually there. He sees the disciple. He understands. He gives the disciple specific instructions according to the disciple's nature. So this idea that, you know, you can take, actually, we heard one lady in Canada, she was told that you can become initiated by Prabhupada. All you got to do is go to Vrindavan and take your bead bag and touch it to the samadhi. And then now you're an initiated disciple of Prabhupada. You see? But that doesn't work with what Prabhupada says. You see? That doesn't work. One has to take as one's spiritual master, a spiritual master who actually is present, who can see you, can understand you, who can give you specific instructions according to your nature. So this idea that you can just become initiated by Prabhupada through touching your bead bag to the samadhi, it's completely a concoction. Prabhupada never told us such a thing. This is a concoction. We can't follow concocted ideas and expect to become perfect in Krishna consciousness. We have to actually follow the instructions that Srila Prabhupada is giving, you see, and then we can become perfect in Krishna consciousness. Just read the books, see what's in the books, and follow the books. and then you become perfect. Of course, we are taking Prabhupada as our spiritual master. He's our Siksha Guru for all of the ISKCON devotees. He is our Siksha Guru. Through his books, he's guiding us. But he is telling us here, you need to have a spiritual master who can know you personally, who can guide you, you see. So this reconfirms that what Prabhupada said in 1977, that after his departure, the new devotees who come to this movement would become the disciples of his disciples, you see. This reconfirms that instruction from Prabhupada. You need to have a spiritual master who knows your nature, who can guide you personally. This, you do this and don't do that, or don't do that and do this, you see. So that's one very important lesson from this purport. It's also a very, very wonderful definition of faith. Unflinching trust in something sublime. In other words, if that, you may have unflinching trust in something that's garbage, but that's not really faith. That's delusion, you see. It's like people have faith in some leader, but he's a rascal, you see. They have unflinching faith in a leader, but if the leader is a demon, then that faith is, it's delusion. It's not faith in the highest sense of the term. But if there's something that's actually sublime, you see, the teachings of Krishna, if there's someone who is actually sublime, the bona fide spiritual master who is purely teaching you what Krishna says, and you have unflinching trust in Krishna and in that spiritual master, then that's considered real faith, you see. This point is brought out in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6.23. Yasya deve para bhaktir tata deve tata guru tasyaite kyatihar prakar prakashante mahatmanaha. Only unto those souls who have unflinching faith in the words of Guru and Krishna are all the imports of Vedic knowledge revealed. So mobile free zone, turn off your ringers. So, that's another point of this purport. Another point is that by serving Krishna, who is the root of all existence, then automatically you've done every single duty to every single entity within the universe perfectly. If you simply surrender to Krishna, you've accomplished everything. Because otherwise, if you try to fulfill all duties in a piecemeal fashion, one duty after another duty after another duty, how will you ever finish? You see? Just like today, we came through the tunnel from the airport. Two tunnels a day. So, there are some men who dug those tunnels. And we took advantage of their hard work, so we have a karmic debt to those tunnel diggers, you see. In this way, we have so many karmic debts to the original workers who built this building, you see. We have a karmic debt to repay to them also. Every street you drive down, you have a karmic debt to the person who helped to build that street. The clothes you're wearing, somebody worked in some factory to make those clothes for you. So you have a karmic debt to the factory worker who stitched your sweater. You see, so how are you going to pay back all these debts? Your toothbrush, you see. Even the person who delivered your toothbrush in the truck to the drugstore where you bought it, that delivery man, you have a karmic debt to him for delivering your toothbrush to the drugstore. So how are you ever going to get out of all these debts? You see, so many karmic debts. What to speak of your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, you see, your wife, your husband, I mean, your teachers, your government leaders, all the cows whose milk you drank, you know, even the vegetables, they're also jiva souls. All those carrots you ate and you have a karmic debt to those carrots. I mean, it's very, how are you going to get out of this karma chakra? There's so many debts. You'll never get out. But since everything is ultimately coming from the Supreme, eko bahunam yovadadati kaman, since everything is originally coming from God Krishna, You see, everything that you utilize is originally come from God. So if you will take your energy and you will engage in the service of the Supreme, if you will focus your energy on serving the Supreme, then you become the perfect everything. Perfect husband, the perfect wife, perfect parent, perfect son, perfect daughter, perfect brother, perfect sister, perfect citizen, perfect leader, perfect employee, perfect boss. Everything perfect, you see. You will simply focus your energy on serving Krishna or God. Now you become perfect. Unfortunately, this science is not being taught in the schools. It's not being taught in the churches, the synagogues, the mosques. And hardly any temple also teaches you. They teach you, come here and pray for some, you know, come here and get some morality and get your material desires fulfilled. You see, come to our temple and pray for your material desires being fulfilled. Come to our mosque, our synagogue, our church, and you'll become prosperous, you see. You get material benefit. But that's not the purpose, to become God conscious, to get material benefit. Material benefit is already there. It's actually quite foolish to approach God for material benefit. Think of it like this. When you were a kid, how many times did you ask your parents to feed you? Mother and Daddy, will you feed me today? Did any of you ever ask your parents that? Mommy and Daddy, are you going to feed me today or not? Please feed me. Please feed. Did you ever ask your parents to feed you? Any of you here in this room? Did any of you ever ask your parents to feed you? No. Why? Because they love you. You think God doesn't love you? You think he's a poor man, he can't afford to feed you? He owns everything. He's a supreme rich man. So why do you have to ask God, you see? In every religion, they're praying for material benefit. Just like that Om Jaya Dagadisha Hari song. There's a prayer for asking benefit, material benefit, a mood for asking benefit. The Christian prayer, give us this day our daily bread, you see. We're asking benefit. Please give me this. I want wealth. I want my daily bread. I want this. You see. But that's not the right way to approach God. When we do that, we're keeping ourself in the center. We're approaching God and he's saying, please serve me. You see, this is backwards. We are meant to serve God, not that we're asked to approach God and ask, please God, will you please serve me? You see, it doesn't make sense. It absolutely doesn't make sense. And the difficulty with this is it keeps you in a greedy position, absorbed in your own desires. Instead of what does God want, what do I want, you see. You don't become pure in that way. It's not pure love. It's a business deal. I will flatter you, my Lord. I will do this for you if you will give me this, you see. It's not pure. And therefore, it doesn't satisfy the self. Ahaitakiya pratiyata yadmo suprasediti. Devotional service must be free of any thought of getting something in return, and it must be all the time, not just once a week on Sunday. Only then will one become fully satisfied by his relationship with God. So, this is a very important lesson that Prabhupada is giving you in this purport. We really, really have to get serious about being in this mood of pure surrender to the Lord. You see? We really have to get serious about it. We have to see how really deficient we are in this regard also. How we're still approaching God to fulfill our own desires, you see. We have to see this deficiency in ourselves. Difficulty is we're very proud. We don't want to see any deficiency in ourselves. That's the difficulty, you see. That's why one has to become humble. If one actually wants to become a spiritually enlightened being, one has to become humble. One has to face up to the fact that one has many defects. You have to. If you can't face up to the fact, if we cannot face up to the fact that we are honeycombed with defects, you see, we can never become liberated. There's what's called, there's different types of competency. One is called unconscious incompetence. One doesn't realize what an incompetent nitwit he actually is. He can't really make any progress. He doesn't realize his incompetencies. The next higher stage is conscious incompetence. Well, I'm incompetent. At least I know that I'm incompetent, you see. In that position, now you're open to being instructed and trained by an advanced devotee, by the spiritual master. You see, you're open to being trained. I'm conscious that I'm incompetent, you see. And then you move to the next stage that's called conscious competence. Now, by you've been very trained by the devotees, been very well trained by studying Prabhupada's books, you've been very well trained by the spiritual master, and now you can consciously do things in a very competent manner. That's called Vaidhi Bhakti. And then you finally reach the liberated stage of Raga Bhakti, where you spontaneously, without even having to think about it, you see, you do everything perfectly. That's the perfectional stage. So, wherever we're at in that progression, we have to, you know, be honest and see what our position is. And we have to take training and guidance and instructions. Sincerely try to improve ourselves and spiritually, you see. And by doing that, we're going to taste something really sublime, you see. Because no matter how much material progress you may make, you're never going to be satisfied. You're never. I don't care if you become Brahma, the chief demigod of the whole material world, you see, whole material universe that we're in. You're never going to be happy. Even if you become Brahma, you won't be happy. What to speak of prime minister or, you know, multi-billionaire or famous rock and roll star, you know, or a famous educator. Anything you may achieve, you will never be satisfied because your actual identity is spiritual. You have nothing to do with this material existence. Material life means you are simply a fish out of water. That is your actual identity. So if one will realize his true position as a spiritual being, qualitatively one with the Supreme Lord, and one will then act in accordance with his actual nature, which is done by engaging in the devotional service of the Lord, then one will feel an amazing transformation of consciousness. He will feel an amazing upliftment, an amazing exhilaration, where life is a thrill at every moment, you see, without any dependency on any kind of material situation. This is called spiritual awakening, when every moment is the most amazingly sweet, wondrously exciting event, you see. Now that means you're becoming spiritually awakened, you see. Brahma bhuta prasanatma na sochati na kankshati samak sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate padam. One who is thus transcendentally situated becomes fully joyful in all circumstances. He never laments about anything. He never hankers for anything. He's equally disposed towards every living entity. And in that consciousness, he can enter into the mood of pure devotional service quite easily and naturally. So, if we take advantage of the wonderful books of Srila Prabhupada, I hope you're all reading Prabhupada's books. If you will take advantage of these wonderful books of Srila Prabhupada, take advantage of this movement, the Hare Krishna movement, the training, the guidance, the inspiration, the direction you can receive from the advanced devotees and the spiritual masters in this movement, you see. And you can mold your life around these teachings of Bhagavad Gita, while at the same time you can pursue your material activities. Vidyam cha vidyam yastadvedo bhyam saha. You see, you don't have to be a monk living in the temple. Arjuna was not a monk living in the temple, and he was the perfect recipient of the teachings of Gita, while he maintained his position as a family man and as a professional man. If you simply understand these teachings of Bhagavad Gita, implement them in your life, and you will taste the most wonderful liberating experience of understanding that you're not this material body, but you, that you are instead an eternal spiritual being who is the eternal servant of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is full of unlimited power, unlimited beauty, unlimited knowledge, unlimited wealth, unlimited fame. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Okay.
You told that we owe a debt to several people. We owe a debt to the people who serve us.
Apparently.
Okay. And in that case...
We appear to owe a debt. In other words, we do, but not in the ultimate sense. If one doesn't serve God, one does. Let's put it like that. If you don't surrender to Krishna or God, then you have so many debts in this material world. That's a bit. But if you surrender, but ultimately Krishna is the provider of everything. So if you only have one debt, and that's to Krishna. But if you don't realize that debt, then you have so many thousands and millions of debts, you see. But if one who actually realizes he only has one debt, that's to Krishna, he has no other debts. And that's the actual position. Understand?
But supposing a person is paying for the services of somebody else, so then does he not... Supposing somebody is paying for somebody else's services.
Oh, is there a debt? Well, if you're paid, then that relieves the debt. See, for a devotee, there's no question of debt anyway. You can pay somebody, you cannot pay, you can take volunteer service. For a Vaishnava, it doesn't make any difference. You can pay them or not pay them. It's all the same because it's all coming from Krishna. But for somebody in the material world, you know, if you hire me and give me a job, then I have a karmic debt to hire you and give you a job and pay you. You see? When I needed a job, you employed me and gave me a job. So now I have a karmic debt. I have to take birth again to hire you when you need a job. You see? And you never get out of it. You can never escape. You can go on for all of eternity and never get out of karma chakra. The only way out is to come in contact with a bona fide spiritual master by hearing his transcendental words of Krishna consciousness. That is and you take those words through the ear holes into your heart, that seed is the seed, it's called bhakti lata beads, the seed of pure bhakti. And if you cultivate that seed by hearing and chanting, you avoid sinful activities like illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling, then you can become liberated. Otherwise, you remain hopelessly entangled. Even if you hired somebody, you have to hire them. They have to hire you, you see. I hire you, now karma reverses. Now you have to hire me, you see. It's karmic debt. It never ends. You're hopelessly entangled in debts and obligations. All right, I saw his hand. You're next in line. Okay?
Srila Gurudev, you mentioned that Krishna is capable of feeding everybody. He owns everything. And at the same time, we see poor people who are hungry, who are not getting the food. So.
So if Krishna is feeding everyone, why people are going hungry? That's due to the mismanagement of the leaders. God is providing plenty of food for everyone, but the leaders are cheating. They say, it's like one time in the U.S. I saw in the newspaper, they had a huge crop of wonderful navel oranges in California. So instead of making them freely available to the public, they let them rot. You see, rather than have the price go down in the market. For the sake of making money, even though there's so many people that are going hungry, they just let them rot. Such things are common. They let the food rot rather than lose money. See, money is more important than feeding the people. For the greedy, materialistic person, he'll let people starve to death, but he doesn't want to give up his money. So it's due to this kind of greed that people are going hungry, not that God isn't providing. Yes.
You said you described that there is a three stages of competency.
Oh, competency, the stages of competency, okay.
So can there be a state where one understands that one is incompetent and be in the state for a while, or is it one time one thing is incompetent and next time people get competence?
Can it be fluctuating, like one time one can?
Yeah, actually, you go through a period where you have a mixture. In some ways you're conscious of your incompetence, in some ways you're not conscious. And see, in the beginning, we're practically a puffed-up materialist. He's almost completely unaware of his incompetence. Maybe a little bit, but he's almost completely aware. And gradually he becomes... It's like a continuum. It's not, you know, you're 90% unconscious of your incompetence, and then you're only 80% unconscious of your incompetence, and gradually it changes in that way. Yeah.
Can we see the relevancy in driving the car or driver?
Yeah, driving a car is a good example. At least on the higher end of the scale, someone can consciously drive the car very well, paying very close attention. You know, turn the wheel, put my foot on the accelerator, shift the gear. But one becomes very expert in driving, you don't even think about it. You don't think, oh, I have to put my foot on the accelerator now. You don't even think about it. Just do it. You just think, I got to speed up now. And you put your foot on the accelerator without even thinking, I'm putting my foot on the accelerator. That's called unconscious competence. That's it. Where you just automatically do what needs to be done without even thinking about how you're doing it anymore. It's just the thought is there and the body just immediately does what it needs to do. That's unconscious competence.
When can I become conscious competent?
Conscious competence means you have to say, okay, now I'm offering the RT. I have to do this. I have to do the light that... Like every little detail, I'm thinking, well, I got to make sure to do this and this and this and this. Every little detail, you have to be conscious of it to do it right. But then gradually it becomes automatic. You do everything right even without thinking about it. That's unconscious competence.
So if I give attention to the details, then I become consciously competent?
To pay attention to the details is conscious competence, and that's very good. That's a very good stage, but that will gradually mature into unconscious competence. But that we can't imitate them. That's the liberated souls who don't have to think about following the rules and regulations of bhakti. You see, right now that's far beyond us. In terms of bhakti, unconscious, in the highest sense, unconscious competence is far beyond our present level. We have to consciously follow the rules and regulations. And that day will come when actually we become a completely liberated soul. We're naturally, spontaneously serving Krishna without any tinge of material desire. That's the ultimate goal. We're moving in that direction every day as we consciously follow the rules and regulations of bhakti yoga as given in the Nectar Devotion. We're gradually going to come to the stage of spontaneous love, you see. That will come, but we can't imitate that now. Some devotees think they want to advertise they're already there. You see, just like one devotee in Malaysia said, Prabhu, I realize my rasa. But it's nonsense, because someone who actually realizes the eternal relationship with Krishna never tells anybody. It's completely confidential, Prabhupada explains. So anybody who says, Prabhu, guess what, I realized my rasa last night. He's dreaming, he's deluding himself. Simply deluding himself. And the big shocker was when, I couldn't believe it, a godbrother of mine, at a Sunday feast, he told everybody to pick their rasa, even the guests. I had to report that to the GBC, and they got on his case. He had to really, I didn't really know what I was saying, he had to really kind of back down on that one. I mean, yeah.
So, like, Gurudev, mentioned in the purport that faith is trust in something sublime.
Unflinching faith.
Unflinching trust in something sublime. And we also see that faith can change. And now I have faith in Hinduism, I can change to Christianity. And faith keeps...
Yeah, that's not faith in the highest sense. That's a different kind of faith. Because their faith is in something that's not sublime. It's a bodily conception of the self. Yeah, that's not faith in the highest sense of the term. That's sectarianism. It's not faith in the highest sense of the term. It's not Shraddha. It's a shadow of Shraddha. It's not real Shraddha. Anything else? Yes, sir. Back there, he went first.
Maharaj, what are the different stages of faith? Like we heard faith and then unflinching faith. So when a devotee first starts coming, he has the faith of Krishna.
Well, Prabhupada, actually Rupa Goswami gives two different kinds of faith. There's preliminary faith and unflinching faith. Preliminary faith is when you're attracted to the process of Krishna consciousness. You say, well, this is pretty amazing. These devotees are really blissful. They're full of knowledge. They're so full of love and compassion. There's something here. I have some faith in this process. I have some faith in it. At the same time, you have a lot of faith in other things too. So that's preliminary faith. And when you come to a stage called nishta in Sanskrit language, then you have absolutely unflinching faith, firm. It's called firm faith, you see. So there's preliminary faith, Shraddha, and then there is firm faith, Nishta. In the Nishta stage, all the influence of passion and ignorance, you're solidly situated in the mode of goodness. The passion and ignorance are no longer very active. You're situated in the mode of goodness. That's called firm faith, Nishta. Of course, then there are higher levels too, and that's when when you completely appear devotee. That's even a higher level of faith. That begins at a stage called a sakti, where you're absolutely, totally attached to Krishna. You don't have any attachment to anything except for Krishna. Nothing attracts you except for Krishna, nothing else. You're only attracted by Krishna, and that's called the asakti stage. That's when your faith is completely mature, you see, at the asakti stage. When you're totally attached to Krishna, nothing else.
So is the prema is on top of it?
That's the beginning of prema, Prabhupada explains. The asakti stage is the beginning of prema. From asakti, then you go to bhav, where you have the emotions arising within the heart, and then from there into full blown prema. But asakti is the beginning of pure love of God, Prabhupada explains. You see, there's the vaidhi bhakti process where you follow rules and regulations, and that takes you all the way to asakti. And then from asakti, then you go into spontaneous love and bhav and prema. But asakti is the top end of sadhana bhakti. When you finally perfected sadhana bhakti, that's the asakti stage. And then there it goes into spontaneous bhava and prem. Described by Rupa Goswami, very nice, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. 1:4:15 and 16. You can study that verse. Anything else? Oh, yes, you had a hand up, Prabhu.
How do we understand clearly that everything is within God and God is within everything?
Everything is within... He cannot understand that everything is within God and God is within everything.
What is the difficulty? Bhagavad Krishna clearly explains in chapter 6, text number 30 of Bhagavad Gita, Yomang pashati sarvatra sravang chamai pashyati tashahang neyitamarnashyati satchamena pranashyati. From one who sees me in everything and everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So here's how to understand it. Just like this room, for example. Here we are in this temple room. This is the expanded energy of Krishna. this temple room and all of us sitting in this room, and even the ether here that's filling up the air that's sitting in the ether, you see. This is all the expanded energy of Krishna. And Krishna has expanded himself as everything. Just like the sun expands itself all over the universe through its rays. So, therefore, everything that exists is within Krishna. You can't, not outside, there is no such thing as outside of Krishna. Because everything that exists is his expanded energy. It's everything, it's Krishna in his expanded form. Everything. It's called Krishna's energy, you see. So everything that exists is existing within Krishna. And at the same time, Krishna has expanded himself within every atom and between every atom as Shiradakshay Vishnu. So it's not difficult to see. This room is within Krishna and Krishna is in this room. You understand? Yeah. So if you can try to understand this, then you will never be lost. Krishna will never be lost to you, and never will you ever be lost to Krishna. So if you quite can't understand it, then kindly read the purport to Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, text 30, where Prabhupada explains in detail about this concept. It's a very beautiful concept. Yamang pashyati sarvatra sarvancha mai pashyati, from one who sees me within everything and everything within me. Next question.
Srila Gurudev, in the purport, there is a line which says, fruitive activities are the engagements of one's reaction from past good or bad deeds.
So what's the question?
Sorry, I'm not able to completely understand that. So
Let's see if I can zero in on this. Fruitive activities are the engagements of one's reactions from past good or bad deeds. Yeah.
So, if I'm engaging in a fruitive activity, even that is because of my past.
Absolutely. As long as you're within karma chakra, you're a slave. You're a puppet. You're being manipulated by the karmic laws. You have no independence. You think you're free, but actually you're simply a puppet in the hands of karma. Karma chakra is simply, you're simply rolling around. It's like you put something in the dryer, it's rolling around and around and around the drying machine. You're in the dryer, rolling in the karma dryer, rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling, you see. Well, your material activities you'd be doing now, of course now you're a devotee, so you've jumped out of karma chakra. But for a materialistic person, whatever he's doing now, that was predestined for him because of his previous activities, which are predestined because of previous activities, and it goes on ad infinitum into eternity. It's the endless wheel of karma. So it's not a very pleasant position to be in. But if you surrender to Krishna, you take help from Guru and Vaishnavas and scriptures, and you'll become liberated from it. Free from karma chakra. Anything else? Everybody satisfied? Ready to get liberated? Or you want to stay in the karma dryer, spinning around and around and around? Being kicked by Maya again and again and again. Here, take another kick, another kick, another kick. Some people don't get a kick out of being kicked. They want to get out of it. You see, those are called philosophers. And those who actually know, find out how to do it, who are fortunate to find out how to do it, they are called devotees. Jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Srimad Sankarsana Dhanikari ki jai.